Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
To Hat Chat. We are in the same place, on the same table, if you are listening to this.
We are.
Back to the original setup that we intended to have for Hat Chat. Episode
107?
Number 107.
Yeah, 107.
107. Nuts, with your hosts, I'm Chris Trott.
I'm Ross Hornby.
And I'm Alex Smith. Hello.
And we are piping into your ears. It's nice to be back in the office.
Yeah, it took us like 90 minutes to set this up in terms of cameras and clearing the table and stuff, so it's a little bit rushed in that sense, but here we are. You feeling good? You feel like you're in a nice, cold,
cool,
air-conditioned space?
Yeah, we're in the middle of a heat wave.
It's second heat wave of the year.
32 right now, according to my watch. It's going to hit like 36 by like 4 p.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Today?
Really?
Today, yeah.
Really? 36?
Yeah. Could well be 36 today.
That's got to be one of the hottest temperatures we've ever experienced in England.
Well, no, wasn't it? Didn't it hit 30?
It hit 40. I mean, we personally.
In London.
Oh. Yeah, in London. Isn't it? I was just thinking before inevitable heatwave talk, we like speaking about the weather in England.
we are weather driven.
It's weird to say your own name. Do you ever find it weird to say
your own name just now?
Do you ever get that feeling? You're like, I'm Alex Smith. You're like, I'm Alex Smith.
I'm attached to that name.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's given me that name.
Yeah.
I haven't chosen it.
Yeah.
And I have to call myself it.
Yeah. But it's because you don't reference yourself on a daily basis like that. Who
Could
does?
I be like out there and say it's kind of the same as not choosing your sexual identity?
Yeah.
Well, biology.
Yeah.
It's
like, I'm a male.
Because you don't have, you wouldn't go, I'm gay or I'm straight, like on a daily basis, because it's just.
Well, you do, and if you fill out forms all the time.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah.
Fill out forms. I've got a job where I just fill out forms about myself constantly.
Yeah.
I guess like you have a very intimate relationship with like your experience.
There's
you?
So many like, Alex Smiths.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, you say this, you joke, like literally they use like, it as Spartacus. They use it for a placeholder for things all the time. Like
Alex Smith, Joe Bloggs,
Mr.
Smith.
Mr. A. Smith.
It really is, yeah. So shout out to
my parents.
So
does it feel less special because of that? Or
in a way,
I'm just saying someone else's
name. I think I quite like my name. I do think I like my name. I think the last name's
it's
a
not
bit
bad
like
bad name.
But like
you know one other Ross Hornby.
Yeah.
Who's that?
His name's Ross Hornby.
Oh, no way.
Who's that?
You know one other Ross
Hornby.
That
was why, but yeah, like I got my Instagram off him because he had the same username. Asked him to like swap.
Can I have it back, please?
And he was like, yeah, sure.
I'm the better Ross Hornby.
I just wanted a clean username.
And what did you give him?
Well, no, he just wasn't bothered about it because he's like, oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, fuck. Wow, how lucky.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, nice.
Would you say he's nicer Ross Hornby than you?
Clearly.
Yeah.
I was demanding. Yeah. Well, I was just asking if he was like, I asked him if he wanted to sell it, but you can't. Yeah. And he was just like, no, I'm not that fast. I was like, oh, cool.
But hell yeah.
Ross Hornby
you
was
offered
like,
to buy
and then there
it.
Were a group of Rosses who invited me into a group once, and I found that awkward.
That,
and
is
that was
left
Facebook, wasn't it?
Remember
when Facebook
I was like,
first
I don't
started.
Want to be here.
Yeah, oh, these Ross Hornbys are all assholes.
Yeah. Hey
like
guys, what's up? I'm from this place. It's like,
hey, shut the fuck up, you English Ross Hornby nerd.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't like any of these people. Ross Hornbys are terrible. Terrible people.
Chris Trotz, I think there's a guy that works in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There is that the ambassador? Oh, no, that's another Ross Hornby.
Oh, there's another.
Wait, I'm Googling Ross Hornby.
There's a Chris Trout, quite a famous
there's
Chris
Trout.
There's
a lot of Trouts out there, yeah.
Which did you choose over Trout and Trot as a last name?
Trot.
Yeah,
Trout
I think so.
Feels worse.
Yeah.
Trout, of course, yeah. Feels Canadian worse. Lawyer.
Canadian lawyer.
Yeah, Ross Hornby is a Canadian lawyer, public servant, and diplomat. Who was,
I don't know if that was a Chris Trott or a Ross Hornby. I think there is another diplomat that's Chris Trott as well.
Oh, let's have a little look-see. This is odd.
He's Canadian.
Chris Trott, also Canadian. Gov, yeah, here we go. Gov.uk.
Oh, no, he's in the UK.
Became the British ambassador to the Holy See in September 2021.
He kind of looks like that meme. You know, the old guy that's got like the awkward smile. That's like pained smile.
Is he sipping tea? Or is that?
He's done a lot of like Shutterstock imagery.
It's that grimace. It's like he's holding a grimaced smile. But yeah, that's similar. Similar to it. Trot's just doing it, an impression there. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing an impression.
Sorry. I can't show you the images today. Yeah, again, it's a very loose, basic setup if you're watching this on our YouTube.
It looks professional, but we did set up very quickly.
Yeah.
So it will be refined as we go. But that's I'm just happy it's names. Working. Yeah, it looks like Harold. Harold's the meme.
Go Should I Google up. Alex Smith while we're at it? I mean, we've done
the most famous Alex Smith is a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's the most popular Alex Smith. Sorry, Alex Smith.
I know.
Born in 1984, a former American football quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah. There's Alex Smith Estate Agents in Hodge Hill.
Nice.
With the alexsmith.co.uk.
Is that what they've got?
Yeah.
Those bastards.
Holy crap.
Then there's Alex Smith from Alex Smith Books. Who's someone completely different as well. I mean, I'm sure we could go on. But there you are. You're on the front page. You are
top, of Google.
Your Twitter comes
which
up.
Which is nice.
So that's good. So all I have to do is scroll down once, twice.
Fancy a bit of doom and gloom?
Oh, I don't know.
Check out my tweets.
Why?
It's a mixture of hopeful political radicalism and doomerism. But I'm trying to change my ways.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's quite a mix.
Yeah, but there's tweets
bit
about
D&D.
Booty here.
There is
and
a
then
bit
obviously
D&D.
Just the energy crisis.
And then...
Can I get £50 credit, please? Someone,
yeah, right.
Please get
£50. Please use my fucking octopus link.
£50.
That
yeah,
went really well
drop
with Bulb before. I mean, with Bulb, like, pretty much my followers on Twitter, like, paid my energy for a year. So,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
I just don't...
I need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, sometimes I think about it when it comes to, like, delivery and stuff. You're like, oh, we can refer to people. You're like, oh, should I do that?
Those aren't worth it. Those aren't worth it because, like, it used to be worth it, but now it's like you get £2.50 off per order and you're just like, it's not worth the shill. Mm. But with that, you get 50 quid. Check out my
Twitter.
Then
they have to switch energy.
I'm literally
provider.
Plugging it. Yeah, they do.
That's quite and a big deal. Like, that's not like a quick...
I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't go out, you two go out and do this after this
because you've got the problem.
First of all, I've hoovered up anyone who's interested. Second of all, I've only had, in the last one, on the Bulb one, I had like literally, you know, 10-15 people do it.
Wow.
This one's like one person's done it. So
no one wants to switch. Well,
no, right now,
that's 50 quid.
In. Yeah.
A drop in the ocean now.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that 1%?
That's 2 days of energy, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, right. Jesus fucking Christ.
Anyway, I'm sure people listening know all about the energy crisis.
We don't need to talk about crisis, do we?
Crisis alert! What's happening today? We've had our thing. Did we tell them who the Fingal was?
Oh,
by?
Yeah, it was No Teddy.
Yes, No Teddy. Thank you very much for the Fingal. There will be the longer version at the end, of course. So thank you very much for that.
Spoiler alert, we didn't hear it.
No.
Because we haven't got that set up yet. But
I'm
sure
much
it's really good.
It.
Was it good?
Yes.
Can you do an impression of what it sounds like to us?
It's kind of like chill and funky.
Dun, 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 dun. Is
no,
it similar
it's not like
to...
that at all. It's,
oh,
like,
is it
it's
not?
A guitar and it's nice, it's well produced. No Teddy, you've got a long career ahead of you.
Oh shit, nice.
You're going to get signed and you're going to go platinum.
Nice, nice one, No Teddy.
Thank you very much.
This is your launching pad. Don't forget that Hack
Films, episode 107.
There's so many people out there that watched us that are now way more popular than us that have forgotten about.
Wow, that's happened
where
a lot
they came from
recently, yeah.
So once you get an excess of money, could you reinvest?
Don't forget.
Back into your roots, please.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that you got. Hat Films still want a little bit.
Hat Films still in this tiny block.
Of that rock. Hat Films still in a tiny, and we want a bit of a rock.
Give us
I don't little... know if there's anything we can address right now, but apparently this dream is a little bit jittery.
No.
But no, that's fine. The audio is still fine, and that's what's good right now. Cool. Well, thank you very much for that, Fingal. Anything else we need to tell people before
there's
we...
There's no other specific alerts or alarms. Just, you know, stay safe and cool.
Okay.
That's the initial thing.
Get through this heat wave.
You've got it's some tough. Cheeky little hypotheticals, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, we found them just
before.
Googled
some just before we started, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't send the patrons out. Again, setting this all up, it's consumed us.
Next week should be a little
easier. Week's not not happening, is it?
Yeah, it's going to be so easy because
it's going to be
happening.
So easy because we're everything a week away.
Yeah. So yeah, no booty.
Smith's you got to really enjoy this one.
Really get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Really squeeze.
We can certainly iron out any issues if we need to.
Yeah. Let's make this one a real good one then. Let's kick off a real good hypothetical that you just Googled before this one. Okay.
Remember that transition sound?
We haven't done those in a long time. Yeah. We can add our own sound effects.
If you want. Do you want to do that? Oh, what? You mean literally
same
now?
One.
Right.
That's what you just did. Yeah, yeah.
Hypothetical.
Okay.
I mean, Ross, have you got them written down there? What's the first one?
It's your country. Do you want to read it?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. So your country is carving an equivalent of Mount Rushmore. What four people do you put up on that mountainside? So which Mount Rushmore in the US has got the founding fathers or some of the founding fathers of America in it. For us, who would you put? You know, it could be political, cultural, it can be scientific.
How did they come up with the decision for that in the first place? As in, like, was it voted for?
I think it's probably George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, maybe Thomas Jefferson.
It's the founding fathers.
Yeah, but then like it's hard. Like, how do you decide the founding fathers? Maybe that is an official.
The four daddies of America.
Four dads. Everyone in America can be linked to these four men.
I'm guessing we put men up there, not women. Right.
Well, I'm glad you said it, Christopher. Yeah, of course.
just easier to chisel.
It's founding father, not founding mother.
God.
No, you can put whoever you like. Any ideas? You want me to start?
I've got one.
Go on.
Should we do a round robin?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do like one each.
Stephen Hawking.
Okay, cool. Yep, I like that.
Stephen Hawking could be, yeah, that's a good one. That is a really good one. Oh, man.
Would you put the wheelchair in or not?
I think you only have the head.
Because it's a part of him.
You only have the head, though.
Yeah, I think we should have a hyper-realistic Stephen Hawking emerging from a rock.
So like a moving rock. We could use a waterfall to like make the rocks move.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you could just have him like before his illness.
That's really early.
It is quite a long time
young,
ago.
Theory of everything. Stephen Hawking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like while he was at uni.
Why don't we just get Eddie Redmayne instead?
Let's just put Eddie Redmayne
up there. Put Eddie Redmayne in there.
Close enough.
He's got a few
birds, one stone.
All right, so Eddie Redmayne's up.
Okay. Eddie Redmayne's up
number
right.
one.
Because he can play all sorts.
As Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
of course.
Don't discount that part.
Yep.
Seems offensive.
Who else? Christian Bale as all of the, like a, maybe a melding of all his various characters. So Batman's in there, Chaney.
what a weird face combination that would be.
And then his own face, of course, is in there slightly.
Yeah.
Maybe the one where he's emaciated and machinist.
Yeah. So
would you put an actor on our version of...
Well, we've put
Eddie Redmayne
up. He's representing Hawking.
Oh, as in, would you put an actor up there?
Yeah.
I don't think so, no.
They spend their lives lying...
That's it, they're liars.
Which you could argue is exactly what a president does.
I mean, politicians, it is a funny one.
People who made big changes, I think, that's the important thing, isn't it? People who made real changes
to fight for people.
Hawkers is a big one.
Big H.
Yeah, I like it.
Eddie Redmayne to Hawkers, of course.
What about, I don't know if Christopher Columbus should be in there.
No. I mean, Christopher Columbus isn't even really close to our hearts. What makes you think of Christopher Columbus?
Yeah.
Because he's just a... What about Henry VIII then?
Not Henry VIII either.
Why not?
What did he do?
He's an important figure in our history.
How far back do we go as you can think of.
Because obviously, if royalty was there's so much royalty. I mean, would you put the Queen on there?
No.
I would put the Queen on there instead of Henry VIII.
Yeah, that might be a more sensible decision, Chuck, considering you lived during her rule and not...
Someone who is in modern history then.
Okay, modern history that means something to us.
Well, but someone who is alive within our lifetime. So you can't have like Einstein.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, Stephen Hawking is a good one.
Stephen Fry.
All Stevens.
Stephen Fry.
So you got Hawking, Fry. What are other Stevens? Gately?
Stephen Gately.
You want to get Gators up there, don't you?
Did he die?
Steve Merchant.
I think so.
He died.
And Stephen
Merchant.
That's it. That's your four.
The four Stevens of the Cliffs of Dover.
Of the apocalypse, yeah.
Would we carve them? The Cliffs of Dover?
Yeah, Cliffs of Dover, definitely. Because as the boats are coming across, they see...
It's Gately. There he is.
Oh, my God. There he is.
That's the prominent face of Stephen Gately.
He really sticks out.
And Stephen Merchant, there he is.
Steve Merchant, Stephen Fry.
Chiseled in his eyes.
Have you got any suggestions? Who would be up there next to the Four Stevens?
Four Stevens. He's made a big impact.
Some really good ones.
I mean, David Attenborough.
Attenborough, of course.
For us, at least. I mean, that's I'm not saying necessarily... Because obviously you've got all of the producers and people that made all those nature
documentaries. They may have to be British as well. I mean, is that what we're
trying to say? I think so, yeah. This is our country's thing. I am a little bit ashamed of how many more men I know that are successful than women.
Well, let's get the big one out of the way, then.
Gone who?
J.K. Rowling.
You want Jakers up there?
Jakers.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
No. I don't want her up there.
J.K.
I love Harry Potter, but that doesn't mean I necessarily love the author.
I'd rather, like, Hermione from Harry Potter be up there as a representation of the fictional
story. Would it be the book
story
version? Or the Emma Stone version?
Emma Watson.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone
is an American.
An actress still. I would say J.K. Rowling, but played by Emma Watson. Okay.
That'd be confusing, I think. I think people would be like...
That's Emma Watson.
There's Emma Watson.
Would with glasses on and strawberry blonde hair.
And strong feelings about and feminism.
Yeah.
Would you
but
put...
maybe they just put AstroTurf all over her face as a representation.
Tough. Nice.
Yeah. No.
I'm starting to think of people that
somebody in chat said Neil Buchanan, because it could be like a giant attack.
This
it?
Is an art attack.
Yeah, yeah.
His last
it's made
art
from
attack.
like
last
mattresses
one.
And duvets.
Stuff that's washed, all the plastic that's washed up on the beach beneath the cliff.
Ah. And then you know what? I think, yeah, it should all be constructed from ocean plastic.
Ocean waste.
There's so much. You could build... We should build a tower. We should go out. We should do this.
Go out
we'll
to the Pacific
hire a,
patch.
A large vessel.
Mm.
Scrape up as much as we can and then get ourselves some super glue and build a tower as big as possible out
instantly,
of the
use of super glue undoes...
No.
Okay,
we'll use
the ocean for
bone...
How much
melt
super glue
down
are we
horse bones.
Yeah. Why don't we just use the plastic together with heat?
That's a good idea. We could do that.
But then it's like heat energy. But I guess solar powered heat guns.
Princess Di?
Princess Diana?
Yes, she did. It's a shame. What happened?
Fuck's
in that
sake.
Tunnel. That's why I don't like driving around France.
Because
of that alert.
You get flashbacks.
Flashbacks. No tunnels. No, that was a devastating moment. We all remember it. We were there in our minds.
Jane Austen's a good shout.
Jane Austen, sure.
What
she look
writer.
Like? How would you describe what she looks like?
I think we'd just put a book.
Just a book.
Just like book Pride and Prejudice.
Pushes out of the side of a hill. Fuck that. That sounds really odd.
I don't know what she looks like.
It's just a giant ad for one of her books.
There was obviously the Boudicca would be an interesting one.
Boudicca?
Boudicca was part of the native tribes of England, and they turned back the Roman... Well, they didn't entirely turn back, but they had a big hand in turning back the Roman colonization of England.
Well, that's important, but what about Spice Girls?
Well, ooh, we could get at least one of them up there, but which one?
The leader, obviously.
Which one was the leader? Scary?
Emma Bunton.
Emma Bunton was not the leader. Emma Bunton was definitely... she was baby Spice. They belittled her.
Baby Spice.
She's an infant Spice.
Yeah, but behind the scenes, she was a tyrant.
And infantilized
her. Is it a bit weird, isn't it, Ross?
Odd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And still sort of sexualized
someone.
She
would have the pigtails and then like a lollipop. And then,
yeah, yeah.
And then, like, that's odd.
It's a bit problematic, isn't it? Yeah.
It can't be Jerry.
It can't be Jerry.
Why not?
She's not a leader.
She was my favourite.
She was my favourite back in the day when I was a horny teen.
Yeah.
But she wasn't that good a singer compared to the others.
Jerry, she's no Victoria Beckham. She was just god awful.
Victoria was pretty bad. Agreed.
That one song with Dane Bowers, was it?
What was that called?
Something about Keep Your Light On? I can't remember.
Keep Your Light On.
It was some like dance track, wasn't it?
Okay, so I'm going to throw a few more out there. So I really like Stephen Hawking. I think he'd make it.
Stephen
Hawking's
already
in my cliff.
He's in the rock.
I think that's pretty cool. I think that, you know, anyone that's kind of progressing society. David Attenborough was great for us because obviously he has shown everyone the natural world. Obviously, it's not just him. There
the natural
are
world
a huge amount of people
dying.
Yeah.
Losing its species.
Yeah.
Makes that very, very abundantly clear in all the latest documentaries like this. It's life as we know it now, and it's not going to be the same next year.
Mm-hmm. He's making it very
clear.
We're
killing life.
I think for me, a musician would probably make it in. It would be very, very hard to tell which one. I mean, obviously, recently, people like
Ozzy
David
Osbourne.
Bowie and people like that would have been interesting.
Ozzy
Osbourne.
You know what?
David Bowie would be good, but yeah.
Black Sabbath were pretty...
Yeah, they were great.
instrumental.
Yeah, yeah. So many good tracks as well. And not just metal. Yeah, exactly. Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd as well, even though one of their guys is a total nutcase these days.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Phil Collins?
Yeah, yeah.
Phil could go up there.
With drum kit.
Yeah. Kate Bush.
Kate Bush, of
course. Kate Bush.
Would have been a good
one. Just the Bush.
Just the Bush, no Kate.
No just Kate, just Bush.
But that's fine, because that's the bit...
made out of bushes. Yeah, face is made out of bushes.
You wouldn't need to maintain that area. You could just let it grow wild. Yeah. Rewilding Kate
that's
Bush's
face.
That's
the Kate Bush.
Yeah, don't touch that. That's Kate Bush.
Yeah. There's lots. I mean, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to come up with like musicians and celebrities, isn't it?
That's
than
the ones
like
we know
actually
the most of, yeah.
People that have...
Craig David.
Helped society.
We do all the Craigs.
Whoa.
Craig Charles, Craig David. Two more Craigs. Come on.
Craig Charles was up there.
Craig
Charles.
Frost.
Well, Craig Frost, of course. Who gets to vote on this?
Just us.
We
just
get
us.
To pick.
The Council of Three. We're a triumvirate.
Craig Frost is up there next to Eddie Redmayne.
Next to Eddie Redmayne, you've got Craig Charles, Craig Frost, and Craig...
Steve Merchant.
And Stephen Merchant.
Adele.
Adele?
Adele, yeah.
Again, a modern one, but a good one. Yeah.
She's very just talented. Musicians. Are we going with musicians?
Ian McKellen. Come on, imagine a giant
Ian McKellen,
relief of
Patrick
Ian McKellen.
Stewart.
Yeah, bookending the
book
two.
Bookending.
Yeah, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart.
And obviously we'd have Captain Picard and Gandalf,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they'd be... Well, you could dress them up. This would be the fun. So you could have seasonal like events where you dress the mountain up as different things.
How long did it take to make Mount Rushmore?
A long time.
Well, it
was
nowadays.
Done like quite a while ago. It'd be quicker nowadays, definitely.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, rudimentary tools. Now we've got 3D printing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can we 3D print stone?
But how much do you think some of that costs? So it was created 4th of October 1927 to 1931.
The Council approved it. They said, there's no budget.
Charles Darwin.
There's no budget, which means you can't make
Charles
anything.
Darwin. Charles Darwin, the greatest natural scientist of ever. You know, yeah. And you've got Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest physical scientists ever. They'd be pretty good ones. You know, they'd be good ones.
We've got some smart people.
We've had them along the way. I mean, obviously other countries have too, but those are our smart ones. And then, of course, Carol Vorderman.
Carol Vorderman, of course. Borders.
Carol Vorderman would be Yes.
How long did Rushmore take to build, and when was it built?
So it says here between 1927 and 1941.
Wow.
It took 400 workers. It's 60 foot high.
Could have been bigger.
It's not actually that big, is it?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they built it and then kind of like pushed it into place.
It was also a precious Native American site.
Oh, fuck, really?
That they just
butchered.
So that's cool.
Oh, was it actually?
Yeah.
It's a sacred like area.
I mean, I guess a lot of America is probably sacred to their native population.
Yeah, we've got to put, four faces up there, though.
Whose idea do you think it was?
Huh?
Like, as we're in process here. But
is it like a government
to just go, hey, let's just put the fucking let's put presidents' faces in the wall. Let's just do it.
So,
okay,
Johnny Vegas.
Johnny Vegas.
Monkey.
What about Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
There is actually considering all the Blackadder stuff.
Yeah.
Like
I was watching Blackadder the other night and like the cast is insane.
They're
like,
so
it's
good.
Got Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie, you know, like just those two alone, you're like, oh my god. And then it has obviously
who's Melchett? Who plays Melchett?
That's Stephen Fry, isn't it?
No. It's like his right-hand man.
Oh.
Melchett with the tash.
Yeah.
Oh,
you've got Rick Mayall playing Flash Art. One person suggested Matt Lucas, but I think the struggle there would be to get a smooth enough edge out of the stone.
I don't know. Maybe I think that's probably easier to do.
You'd have to get buffer that it yearly.
To get an egg like shine.
To get the egg shine.
Yeah.
Probably easier than you think.
Well, I think we put this one to bed.
We certainly.
We'll have to come back to it.
We'll have
to really whittle it down.
What would we call it? Not Mount Rushmore. What would we call it?
It'd be easier if we stuck with the Four Stevens idea, because then we could call it the Four Stevens.
The Four Stevens sounds poetic to a degree.
It's like Four Seasons, but it's Four Stevens.
Yeah. Why don't we just...
My favourite kind of pizza.
Can we have like a sculpture that changes over time? Or like maybe spinning ones, so that it's changes.
Like
so
it's then got four heads.
Like
well,
for
why
a period of
time, do inflatables instead then?
Let's do inflatables.
You want to do inflatables? Everyone loves
Let's
inflatable.
Just do hot air balloons.
Yeah. That's happening this weekend in Bristol, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that they launched them today.
The Big Burn, that's what they're calling it.
The Big Burn.
Get some of that methane going.
Is it like...
In a heat wave.
I don't know much about hot air balloons, but like when it's really hot outside anyway,
yep.
Does it make a difference?
Yep.
Yeah, like, the air density is different, isn't it?
Are they safer or more... Would you fly in one?
Yeah.
You just got to burn for more.
We went up in one, didn't we?
Yeah, but it was that like was tethered. So tethered. That's where, you know, freeballing. Whereas your raw dog in life.
Your raw dog in life.
Raw dog
yeah.
in life, you tell
I do all sorts. I chuck myself out an airplane. Like, I want to do that, I think. I'm.
Yeah, but with the equipment.
Yeah, well, you're going up in a hot air balloon. That's an equipment.
And if you land, like, with your fingers pointed, like, downwards into the water, you'll be fine.
Oh, you break the water with your fingers.
Yeah. What's that, 10,000 feet? What's the dropping point?
Depends. Not that high, is it? No, about 10,000, yeah. For it depends on I think 12,000 is the maximum you can go to if you're unqualified.
Yeah.
Then above that, it starts getting spicier and spicier. Mm.
It's a horrible video of a guy getting tangled in his own.
I saw that as well. That? Yeah, the paraglider. That's actually what the thing horrifying. I want to do, the paragliding thing. Not necessarily
that video turned you onto it. You're like, oh yes,
because of that video.
That looks horrifying.
Yeah. So he did the thing you meant to do. So a lot of some paragliders don't even like travel with
when
them.
You cut the ropes.
They have this parachute they chuck, right? So you carry like an emergency parachute that's unguided, you just throw it out. But the poor bastard, even that didn't deploy properly. So like
Yeah
he was lucky.
How did that end? I don't remember. I kind of clicked away because I didn't want to see the landing.
The chute, the emergency chute finally like opened up about like literally about 20 feet above the air though. So that's pretty hard landing. Yeah. It was the equivalent of just jumping out of a second story window, that kind of landing.
Yeah. Have you seen the video of that person who successfully had a parachute, but they landed and like really abruptly onto their legs and kind of snapped one of them?
No, I don't watch that kind of stuff.
Whoa! It's like I thought they were just going to land nicely.
Yeah,
but they didn't land properly, and it's just like kind of like.
I mean, it's quite. I've been quite lucky that I haven't injured myself doing mountain biking because like it's just as dangerous really for your legs and stuff. You just got to get unlucky. I mean, I guess that's it. But fingers crossed. I don't snap my legs.
Don't cross your fingers while riding a bike.
Oh, I can't hold onto the wheels. I'm trying to hold onto the wheels.
I can't push the brakes. My crossed fingers.
Yeah.
All right, what other hypotheticals have we got? That was a really in-depth.
I like that one. Yeah, breakdown. Interesting. That was and then really it made me realise, God, I really should learn like some more important people that aren't just like actors and musicians. But hey, don't judge us out there. You come
it's
up with your own.
Politicians are so disappointing.
And celebrities are put on such a pedestal.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're more relatable.
They provide you something that you enjoy, and like, when you look at politicians and the shit that they do, even like even the good ones are still fucking liars and pieces of shit.
Is this why
Zelensky, taking money and like other shit?
Zelensky's a great president.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on the path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
That's strong statement, but okay. He's been a good leader in a time of the Ukraine being
like,
attacked.
He's just globally recognized, like doing a good job.
He's right. Yes,
in the current situation.
Yep. I in the interest of like balance, I'd say that like it's like saying Winston Churchill was a great prime minister. I think that the things that were achieved and the victories achieved.
No, I look
were great.
At Reddit.
Oh right.
And I've got my very unbiased opinion.
Yep. No. Straight, anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Do you think his relatability helps because he was previously a celebrity?
Yes.
I do.
That's why he's feared as much as he is.
Yeah, but I think that's all similar reasons why people like Ronald Reagan and fucking Donald Trump get put into power, because it's like, he's that guy from the TV. He's the TV guy.
He was on WWE. Charisma.
Oh my God. And then if you look at the work he did before or whatever, and they kind of like, they enjoyed that. So yeah, they just kind of put him in this position. But then you see what the Donald Trump thing pulls out, just morons, because he's literally from reality TV. So it's just like, you just get people who just,
an idea.
Watch that shit. Yeah, go on.
Right?
Yeah.
We have the politicians do internal voting to, like it's currently happening with Liz Truss and totally forgotten his name.
The Rishi other one. Sunak?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sunak and Truss. They've been voted as the next two leaders. That's out of our hands. Mm-hmm. Sure. Let's just assume that they know best and they put forward like 10 candidates. Like each party puts forward 5, say. So there's 10 in total.
Yeah.
If there's only 2 parties, but whatever. Then Big Brother.
Okay.
Or I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here events.
Yeah.
So you want a public phone in?
those politicians are put in and we just deduct them by learning about them and their personality, how they react and talk to each other and stuff.
Put them in real scenarios. To be honest, like, having a window into what they do in Parliament in general seems like the most transparent way to see what the people you've put in power are doing.
Exactly.
And that would be, I think things are moving towards something like that.
That's the word. Like, not to get too into politics, but like, what you've asked for and then what you've said is exactly it. It's about transparency and about having a closer link as possible from a public choice to an elected official. And yeah, absolutely. Like, one day, I think a lot of people talk, and this is something I've spoken about before, is like peer-to-peer democracy, right? Mm. The one where, like, your vote,
that's torrenting, or your, isn't it?
Yeah, it's torrenting. Yeah, it's like LimeWire. Yeah, your democratic choice is as close to the reality of the candidate as possible. And yeah, hopefully that will be a thing. I don't know whether chucking into a Big Brother format is necessarily...
Well, wipe
that's
out.
Doesn't there's have to be.
Yeah, because obviously there's an out. Entertainment element there.
Could
but
be a
like,
wipeout thing. Could be a physical
It'd be fun
challenge.
To watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But then obviously you've seen there are like politicians who've been in I'm a Celebrity and stuff.
Yeah.
Like Nadine Dorries was in that. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, like...
Yeah.
I think just like that's, if anything...
Being in something makes you more relatable. So I think it works in their best interest to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, because some of them don't want to be too transparent or too close to choice. Like I was saying, like the Conservative members had a completely different... there was a survey done of Conservative members in the UK, and they ranked their best next candidate. And all those candidates in the top of their choices are no longer in the running. And so it's almost in some of their favour to not... You know, as in they just need to get the right people within their party to like them, the reality is, I think. But yeah. It would be nice, you know, real,
Hunger
real,
Games, then.
Hunger direct.
Games, yeah. The Hunger Games, strongest survives.
Or Squid Game.
But Hunger Games, where it's just a thrown like political, like challenges.
Yeah.
So you've got to deal with this really quickly. Oh, someone's about to fire a nuke. You've got to figure out how
those,
to you
know, mega games, stabilize those strategic things. Mega games, yep. Where everyone turns up and there's like fake crisis and they have to work together.
And this is why LARP is so interesting. LARP is like watching as a human exercise. That's one of the biggest thrills I get out of it. Is like. 3,000 people is a small sample size, sure, but you get to watch how all these different human beings that are, of course, playing characters, but they're still having to make choices and still exist within a functioning system of society. And it is really interesting to see that reflection of human beings and like human nature within a controlled... And
given a different environment.
Yeah, exactly.
And a standing.
Without the same constraints. Because the problem is with like our democracy and shit, it's like we have all of these ridiculously like... archaic processes and principles that need to be changed over time, and like it just moves so slowly. Yeah, who knows?
I think I found the best format.
What?
We have a pre-existing LARP that has an economy and it has hierarchy.
It's 2.0.
Well established. Or, yeah. No, full fantasy.
It's full orcs. Fantasy. Right, everyone has to wear full prosthetics.
Yeah, and it's been running for years, so it could be Empire LARP.
Right, okay.
There's already a queen or king and people you look up to. All the politicians have to join this LARP and be full-blown peasants.
Right, okay. Oh, okay.
And make live way as a peasant through and live like a peasant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, or they could do that reality shit that's already on Channel 5, which is where they, like, Rich House, Poor House.
I haven't seen this.
Where they literally just swap houses. And then obviously you have the rich people going, oh, I can't believe they live like this. And the poor people going, oh, look how they live. Like, put these fucking rich asshole politicians in a shit situation where you've got to deal with, oh, this is how much money I make every month. And then get relatability and go, fuck, I can actually either help these people or crush them further down, which is what they're currently doing. So,
I'd love it at the end of that season, they then go, actually, this is now your life. That's the real kicker. They're like, oh, I really can't wait to get back to my nice house. And they're like, actually.
You're not going back.
The deeds were swamped.
You're not going back. And then the shit, the penny really drops.
Yeah, and that's season two.
But yeah, I think because those guys need a reality check.
Yeah, I mean we all do. You can't help. You can't help.
Of course,
but
like
not
people who
them.
Are like what do you, Boris called $250,000 a year for chicken feed?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane to call that chicken feed on a public platform.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
like that kind of thing where it's like, yeah, that's ridiculous to kind of
everyone
talk
has
about
to
that.
Go through the same LARP at some point,
and they all have to be. Well, that's I mean, isn't that interesting, Chris? That's a you're coming up with these ideas, and they're, and I mean,
but they need
they're
to be
fundamentally
mandatory.
Massive. I mean, what you're saying is that every person should be born into the same circumstances. What you're thinking of is a perfect meritocracy.
No, I'm not thinking that.
Yeah.
Because that is fundamentally changing everyone's upbringing and stuff.
Mm. But what you're saying that they should start as a peasant and have to work their way up through the system.
But specifically at one part in their life, not their entire life is entered into a LARP. Right. I'm saying at some point, everyone, doesn't matter what your background is or where you currently are in life, at a certain point, you have to enter this LARP like everybody else.
Yeah.
And then reflect upon where you currently are.
Oh, I see. So it's almost like a self-examination.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not like everyone upheaves their entire life and has to funnel through this thing.
It's like military service. Yeah, it's like peasant service.
Is it Israel where everyone's forced to be in the military for X amount of time?
Lots of countries do it. Not just Israel. I mean, places like Denmark do it as well.
You have to do service, and that's probably grounds people quite heavily, right?
Yeah.
To have to do something. So
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, there's exceptions. Like, plenty of people don't do it because they go to university, for example.
Right. Is it Malaysia or Thailand when we learned when we were out there?
The monk thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not just that. There's, like, a few options that you have to, like, give back to your country at a certain point in your life. It's, like, either become a monk and work at the temples, like, doing menial labor and stuff like that, washing the floors and things, or you go into do military service for a while.
Yeah.
That just sounds... I know it sounds... It sucks for kids that... I don't want to do that. But then again, it's formative, isn't it?
I think that there's definitely some benefits to it. I could see it being beneficial to people. It depends on what you're asking them to do. I think obviously military service, there is also, I was listening to a really interesting podcast about, I think it's called Analysis or something like that. I think it's a BBC podcast, and they were talking about nationalism. Can nationalism ever be a force for good? You know, the idea of like the national identity, it's essentially a form of tribalism, but like they're talking about how can it be a force for good? And one of the examples is obviously Ukraine recently. So one of the big reasons that Ukraine's been able to resist so much is their national spirit. Essentially, you know, they're people that really believe in what they're fighting for. And that's been a big boon to the defense of Ukraine. And I don't know, it's interesting. Like military service for me, I think that, I've never done it, but I've done sort of, you know, nothing the same. I'm not going to say this is the same, but things like doing the Duke of Edinburgh Award. At the time, I didn't really want to do it. You know, I was like some teenage kid, and I was just like, yeah, go on a 25-mile walk and like go and study the police and like do a bit of charity work. I'm just like, oh God, I don't know if I can be bothered to do this. But now, you know, 15, 20 years later, I'm like, oh no, that was actually really good. And I learned some really useful things, and it makes you a bit more of an informed participant in your country, not necessarily Duke of Edinburgh, but I think there are national incentives to do that kind of thing, and national reasons.
If you had to do military service now, what would you do?
If I had to do military service now,
what role would you try? And
Air Force, baby.
You go Air Force.
100%
paratrooper.
You'd be a paratrooper.
Sniper.
I don't.
Long range sniper.
So Ross wants to be able to see the faces of the people he's killing.
But
from far away. I'm removed to a point where I can just literally just pick up the glass.
Yeah. You have to lay in really uncomfortable positions for days at a time. Shitting into a bag next to the guy next to you. Okay. Yeah. Trot, you want to be a paratrooper?
Think about Bond.
I don't want to skydive.
Well, you can't be a paratrooper.
I'm scared of skydiving.
I'm scared of heights, but I want to be a para. Yeah. Also, the paratroopers in the UK, I mean, it depends on how you quantify it, but the paras, like one para and two para in the UK are like literally like the nutcase like special forces attachment.
Yeah, my PT was one.
Yeah. No, he was in the Air Force Regiment.
That's right.
Yeah. Which is quite different to paras. The regiment defends like air bases and stuff like that, whilst the paras are like...
All right, I'll be SAS.
Okay, all right. Just the SAS, yeah. I hope you like to blood in. I know you've seen the news recently.
No, I haven't.
Anyway, have we got one more?
There's no more hypotheticals, but we were talking about AI art.
AI.
Which we said we'd save it for the podcast because it's quite an interesting...
shift. But
it is quite a shift. It's not political, it's just...
So this all came from, I mean, AI art's been around for a while. If you don't know what that means, it's artificial intelligence, neural network, essentially. You give it an input and it spits out an output based on collecting a ton of data and making some approximations and stuff. So,
For example,
on the way back from our little trip to an event, Harry told me about Midjourney, which is a Discord-based bot where you literally just type /imagine and then a word, multiple words, a sentence, like I want to have a female in plate armor in a forest, midday sun and blue colors
in the style of Quentin Blake,
in the style of Van Gogh or Quentin Blake,
just an artist,
and it will spit out four images of something, Sometimes it does a very good job. Sometimes it does like a, well, that was not really what I was asking for. They always look good.
Yeah,
they doesn't do. Matter. They either look unnervingly weird or they're pretty cool. And the images are uncannily good, like masterpiece level.
Yeah.
And then you can upscale them and say, like, I want this one, but give me variants of that one, please. And it's nuts. And it just, like, the implication instantly of us doing this is like, well, artists that get commissioned to do this kind of work, can they compete with an AI bot that just gets better and better?
If you've never seen it before, you should look it up, because honestly, the stuff it creates is so impressive, like style wise, like that stuff where you got that like blueprint sketch work,
yeah,
like which is like really intricate, art, like
style, technical drawings.
Just is amazing.
It's total jargon. Like it doesn't create like a spaceship that's like aerodynamic and flyable. It creates like a weird look of a spaceship with like things bulging out of it and stuff. But it from a distance would be like, yep. That's good enough for like a piece of art that goes in a game.
Oh man,
as a poster.
It's interesting, isn't it? That like what I find really interesting about it is like, you know how you're saying like from a distance that looks right.
Yeah.
It's it represents how the thing itself is creating it, in that like it's using like as it's like the resolution of the data
and more data goes
exactly,
in. Yeah.
And the resolution of how it thinks improves, the resolution of the end result, the physical picture itself, will make more sense. But because you can look, like with all things that are a low resolution, if you look from the further away, they're more acceptable to the eye, right? Because you're like, oh yeah, no, that looks about right. And then you get in, you're like, details are like, oh no, wait, I can see this is a bit weird. But I love that.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah,
it because is. It's almost like the way that works is almost like the way the brain works. Mm-hmm. Like the resolution and clarity, the more you think about it, the more knowledge you have and neurons you got connected to a thing, the higher resolution you're going to get.
It's very cool.
You can also watch the image go from like a couple of blurry colors and
stages,
and then it doesn't doesn't have all the detail there to begin with. It's like I asked for a person and they didn't put the person in until like the last 10%.
Yeah,
it's like they were doing all the background stuff. It was super interesting. I'd love to see like a developer interview, like how it works and stuff.
That's where it's at now as well. This is the thing, like we were saying, like the struggle it must be for like an artist seeing that, because obviously like there's some incredible stuff on there, and obviously someone's just had to type in a sentence of descriptive words.
Yeah,
and you've created this masterpiece effectively that can be used for any application.
It can do what looks like 3D renders of things.
So
I think that's what that's quite interesting actually. Is I just thinking, like, we're talking about artists and whether or not it necessarily negatively impacts artists. I think that, first of all, it's not going to replace bespoke art.
No, of course not.
When you need, so the example of this is we're using it in our D&D show at the moment, and we've been coming up with some background images and quick sample images and things like that for particular scenes. But I've also been working with an artist who has done all the character art for our show, and it's amazing and bespoke. And like, for example, they made each of the characters, which are different races. So there's like a hobgoblin, a tortle, and a triton within D&D, which are all different looking, like one's a fish person, one's a turtle person, one's like a goblin person. And the artist, Casper, he's managed to make it look like all three of you, like actually physically, like look like a face, which this bot is so far from being able to do. And that's great. But what is interesting is, whilst landscape artists and things like that, things that take a long time to make, may indeed be at risk from AI like this, because it is great at doing landscapes. It's great for artists who aren't necessarily painters or writers. It's because artists are also writers, you know, like literally you can use it as one of the greatest inspiration and prompt systems for
conceptual
writing
stuff.
So say like I've been writing like, oh, there's this scene coming up where the guys go into here, and it's like, oh, I want to put my mind in a place of like a tropical island, or like what would a pirate bar kind of look like, and you type in some search terms, it'll render out something, and then that will be there on my second screen, and it'll act as like a placeholder for my thoughts, if you know what I mean, as in it keeps it there. It's like a mood board, right?
Well, it's just an inspirational conceptual design,
like,
isn't it?
It's like searching on Pinterest
and
getting a billion images, and then those billion images are put into one image. It's like a theme.
It's really, really cool.
It's just so impressive, like the styles and stuff it comes up with, and just the detail. It's unreal. But
environmental and organic, natural looking stuff, where if you don't look too closely, it does that so well.
Yeah.
bodies and limbs and eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And features, it's a bit messed defining up.
The 3D
features.
Models, though, the, like yeah. the style, those styles, because I did like a 3D little cool. mushroom, humanoid mushroom yeah. character. And it's just like, it looked like 3D rendered. It was amazing. Yeah. Oh, it's just.
I don't think we found
it's
the
It's so
limit,
addictive as yeah. well. Like, if you get a chance, this one's called Mid Journey.
This one's Mid Journey, and it works through Discord. There are a bunch of others.
There's
yeah.
Dali, yeah. Dali, which is like in a.
Is that accessible now?
It's accessible in like. There's two versions of it. There's one that's like not available to the public, and then there's one that's like a simplified version that you can use.
Mm. And it's also like it's doesn't allow you to do like X-rated content. Or
no,
like
they've banned certain terms.
So it's fairly safe.
So.
Yeah, so it's fairly safe to use in that sense. But
yeah,
it's just yeah, it's crazy. Like I wasted an entire evening just rendering stuff constantly. I was just like, yeah, the stuff you get out of it is so amazing and
so
inspirational.
Many wallpapers.
Well.
Yeah,
like all
yeah.
the stuff for the D&D stuff was just so sometimes, cool to come up with tentacles in the sky and these
yeah,
like
yeah,
Kraken
yeah.
monster and stuff. It's like, oh,
it's very Cthulhu-esque
so cool.
a lot of the time.
Yeah. Like, I was messing around with some like search terms. I just wanted to see like, oh, I wonder what this would look like. You know, stuff like a pitcher plant mixed with a giant snail and things like that. And it was generating stuff that I then, like, I know that seed I showed you, that seed of life yeah. picture. That is something that got generated from me messing around with, like, seeds and earth and renewal and all these ideas. And then I went, oh, this is an image of a thing that I can use in the campaign now. So it's yeah. like, this is an actual item, you know, wondrous item almost. And it's really great for D&D because of that nature of fluidity of like...
It can create a new idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you can just, because of D&D and how, you know, come up with whatever the hell you want, you can. It works really great in that.
Yeah, from a non-artist's career perspective,
yeah,
I can only see benefits from yeah. my personal usage of it. Mm. I can see that, like, holy shit, I used to do environmental art for commissions and stuff and thumbnails or whatever, or, like, D&D shows, and no longer have that work.
And the issue in that sense is this is what it's like now.
Yeah.
Like, in, like, 10 years' time.
What if it gets
think
really
how
good
detailed it goes, how yeah, yeah. more, like, precise your request becomes. That's the downside.
If it's a neural network, it only has existing art to use, though, right?
Sure,
so new art is needing to be fed into
it. So will
it
just become a blurry mess in that time?
All artists will just be working for AI bots, is what I'm saying. As in, like, as an artist, you could sell your art to a bot network.
Yeah. And also, what about the kind of the crypto side of things where people, you know, use this art as NFTs and stuff? Like,
yeah,
what value is there then? It's hard to say, because when you're like spaffing these things out, I kind of don't value it in the same way that I would value someone spending that time on it. If someone spent time making that thing, you'd be, oh my god, that's incredible, you've done this by hand. But I don't know, I
think that's true.
I'm impressed
though.
By what it's made, but like at the same time I don't value it in the same way. So
that's
like there is that as well. So
market for one a person or a group of people making a piece of art for someone, because it's like there's a story there behind the individual,
and there's a physicality. Like, this is the same. I know NFTs may be used for other things. I don't still fully like grasp the full use of an NFT, but an NFT from the idea of a traditional art collection, where a person might buy a piece of art from an artist they found because they love it, and then in 50 years time that artist becomes incredibly popular and they're like, because that's why a lot of people buy art from like Bristol galleries, right? So you go into a gallery, you'll pay £300 to £500 for a nice painting sometimes in galleries here, which for me, I haven't done. I don't buy much art, but some people do go, hey, first of all, I love this picture and I want it in my home. Second of all, they're like, this is really good. And I feel like maybe this person may become incredibly popular in some point. So they buy it as an investment. I don't think NFTs will ever be like that. No. I just don't think they will. I think that there's the art world, the art trading world, has existed for a very, very long time. And physicality is incredibly important. There's so much of industry around proving a painting is real, legitimate, all those sort of things. NFTs completely, apart from the whole like digital receipt.
Yeah, that's why the idea of like a metaverse is laughable at the moment.
Yeah.
Because like it's stripping all of the sensory things that is valuable to a human. Sure, it's got like the eyesight thing down and the audio, but like there's no tangibility to it.
Yeah,
it's lifeless essentially.
But
that's
then,
what AI is,
regardless of the NFT element of it. Like someone posting if someone posted an AI image and just said, oh, I made this, what stops you? How would you verify something like that?
Indistinguishable
like,
from good art.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, I just did this digital part artwork, and it's like, there's no, how can you verify something like that? You couldn't. Unless some people have to now film every action they take now to prove that they did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what about like if you made a load of nice landscapes and stuff and then just stuck it on a board and then just painted over it? and then just replicate it entirely? Like, what value is there in that? Is there less value in that, or is it still impressive that you managed to replicate something like that, even though it was an inspiration, but you're basically tracing?
It's tough, isn't it?
Because this machine creates incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we should do that. I feel like that could be like an art challenge type thing where we can try and replicate a piece that we've rendered. That'd be quite cool.
That would be cool.
Because again, like, it doesn't require us having to... The initial thought is sometimes the most impressive part of what someone's created.
And holding the image like in a cohesive way in your mind before it's on the paper.
To be able to do that. Because I'm shit with like scale and all that kind of thing. So like when it comes to actually putting stuff pen to paper, when you've actually got something already there...
I don't know how it does.
So it just does change the art world in the sense of it's a pretty big deal, I think. It can be. Or we might see these stories come out where it's like, you know, so this famous artist has just been fucking rendering all this stuff on an AI generator.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? I think that is it. That is what's interesting about it. It's not obvious, I think, right now to what's going to happen with all of it, whether it's going to be, you know, I think that like all the best questions, there's a lot of philosophy behind this in terms of like the idea of property and ownership is quite a big deal. I think in general,
I don't feel like I own it when I print. When I come out, I don't feel like I'm.
No, well,
I couldn't put my name to it and say I did this.
Yeah,
just because I typed in like, you know, a description.
The bot did it.
I know. Yeah,
essentially, all the work has like been done by the algorithm.
Yeah,
that's done for you. And also with Midjourney in particular, everything's public. Yeah. Unless you pay a lot to have it private.
Yeah, it's really
expensive. It's put onto like community boards and stuff so that anyone can like, I want to take a variation of that. I want to save that for myself.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's quite nice in that way.
But yeah, it does bring into question the idea of ownership. Like,
it does. And I think at the moment, from my very small, you know, my stupid brain, I look at it and think about exactly like that kind of thing about the whole... That could be on a board somewhere and a person could type the tag pirate in and it would bring up all of the most popular renders about a pirate. And does anyone necessarily need to own it? You know, does anyone necessarily... Is there like a massive change in ownership of digital assets coming? We've seen people try to make digital assets ownable through NFTs. Is the opposite coming where it's a mass kind of democratization of ownership of images, I suppose, like we all own it because that neural network is essentially taking the sum of digital human art and creating something. And I also think that's where some of the excitement comes from because of that progress. Like we see something, like it's not often we get...
It's collaborative, isn't it?
Yeah, in a collaborative technological leap. I don't know whether it's that's a bit dramatic to say that, but like... It could be a completely different direction.
The same thing for like AI art is one thing. What about music?
Yeah.
Like, what if you could just generate music endlessly, pick a genre, pick a style of voice, pick the instruments?
I feel
the
like
tempo.
There's something like that that exists, surely. Like there at least something in a very rough form of like beat generating.
Music 2000,
of like, course. Yeah.
You could literally PS2. Put in like, I want this structure, like verse, chorus, verse, bridge, make me a popular rock song.
Yeah,
please.
Have you seen the popular challenge of using predictive text and singing it as if it's a song? So,
I have not.
So you like would start with a word on a notepad and being like, you know, give me a word. So, acid.
Acid.
Yeah.
Strong word.
Acid is doing a bath now with the kids. That was that was literally my predictive
a bath
text.
Bath now with the kids.
You gotta sing it. Acid is doing a bath now with the kids. Oh God, that's a hot one.
Oh my God.
But you know, like so, like. There you go. Maybe we could write a song about that.
maybe we could do one entire song here, which is just generated, AI generated for our Neon Musk.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Where it's just, this makes no sense, but it doesn't have to. It was made by the robots.
Exactly. Well, I mean, what's it, the Flight of the Conchords years ago did the whole, you know, humans are dead.
Yeah, so
it's like coming on it. What a catchy tune as well.
All
right. That'd be quite good.
Solid ideas. And all thanks to AI.
I know.
Giving us that little seed.
Bloody AI.
It'll save us or destroy us.
I'm interested and to see both. What other people think.
Well, we're only good at destroying ourselves as human beings, so I say give the AI a spin.
They'll get a nice picture of it at least.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, well, I guess that wraps
indeed
today's chat. We could talk about AI for multiple episodes, I think.
Yeah.
It might be one of those things that we keep coming back to when it evolves and takes
it
over.
It will evolve and take over.
But huge thanks to our patrons that help us evolve and grow.
Indeed.
And help us monetarily. There is a new tier on there. If you're interested in watching our D&D show that's DM'd by Smith at the moment, it's called Booty. It's like a ragtag band in a pirate-themed adventure with some mostly comedy. Yeah. Hijinks.
It's just an excuse for some funny role play. Yeah, in a magical pirate world with lots of things going on.
That's available in podcast form, and you can support that on Patreon specifically as well. Mm-hmm. Other than that, please enjoy more Hat Chat as it gets released on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. And we'll see you all next week. Any final words? Acid?
Acid.
Bathtub.
Nice.
Kids.
All right. See you all next week.
Bye. Goodbye. Thank you.